Welcome along to Derby Day. Yes, we're all off to the ups and downs, not taking the train, and hopefully we'll get there in the end. Hopefully they get a good crowd. It's From the Horse's Mouth Derby Day special. It's Rory De Largy, it's Ruby Walsh, and it's myself. We're looking at the 12:50 through to the 5:05 at Epsom. A lunchtime derby. They want a Wednesday derby. We've got a lunchtime derby now. Before I get stuck into the housekeeping, Rory De Largy, hello.
Hello there.
Last derby you went to?
Last derby I went to? Oh, that's a good one. It's been a few years, actually.
You went to Chris Kinn's derby.
I went to Chris Kinn's derby. I went to... The derby I remember most was High Chaparral's derby, because it coincided with a big World Cup game, and I ended up with a bit of a football audience there. And I don't know whether they had to change the time of the race or not, but High Chaparral got booed back into the winner's enclosure.
Because everyone's on Hawkwing?
Hawkwing was favourite.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely bizarre. They booed it as if somehow it was as if it was some kind of fix. Just absolutely bizarre scenes. And because the normal crowd weren't vociferous enough to sort of drown that out. It was only a small number of people doing it, but they seemed to sort of take over. So that was just a weird experience.
Well, it's an apt memory, because the football is why the derby is on at 1:30 this Saturday, 1:30 p.m. A reminder, don't forget 1:30. That's because the FA Cup final's on, and that's on at 3:00. The reason for that is the Man United Manchester, or the Manchester derby, means that they're not allowing people to, you know, get the sherbets in. I think get it in early. I think if the police have decided. So early derby start. Ruby Walsh, last derby you were at?
Last derby I was at.
So it wasn't last year then, right? Okay.
No, it was 3 years ago.
It was before Serpentine?
Before Serpentine.
Oh, the one before Serpentine.
Yeah.
I'll let Rory figure that one out. Google it. Google it. All right, while we go, we're going to look at all the races on the card. A reminder, if you want to get into the derby mode, check out the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel for a brilliant rewind show with Joseph O'Brien, Paddy Power, and our own Ruby Walsh looking at Derby's past, indeed possibly the one Ruby was at 3 years ago, as well as get your questions in for our Royal Ascot Punters panel, fthm at paddypower.com, where you will have the potential to win yourself a free bet if that question is used. Producer Mark is scouring through all the questions. Thanks to those who've already emailed in. And finally, Paddy's Pick 5 will be live, and there will be 5 races to choose from, and hopefully you manage to bag a winner. I'm going to look to see if I still don't know the races. We're recording on Thursday afternoon, by the way, but it'll be free to play, and we had 5 winners last week sharing 20 grand each. Happy days, well done to those. Okay, let's get into Saturday. And we kick off with the Diamond Stakes and 6-5 favourite Highland Avenue for Appleby and Buick. We talked yesterday's pod about the Appleby form. So by this time, this is recorded. It'd be interesting to see if he's had a winner. 5-2 Colside for Roger Varian. 5-1 Regal Reality for Ryan Moore and Sir Michael Stout. 8-1 Escobar and 16's Bar. Right, Ruby, kick us off with a winner in the Diamond Stakes.
Yeah, I thought it was, I didn't think it was a spectacular contest or anything, and I was against the favourite. I thought he looked like a Dayar's pacemaker, or lead horse even, at Newmarket Highland Avenue. Colsai was unlucky at Goodwood, only a 3-year-old. Was he that unlucky? Regal Reality is an 8-year-old, Escobar is 9. Marie's Diamond is a 7-year-old, being consistent, good run at York behind Mahaba the champ. But out of process of elimination and trying to make a case for something, I ended up with Imperial Fighter, who was third in last year's Irish 2000 Guineas behind Native Trail. He was disappointed in his comeback run at Doncaster. He was last Astral Bow, didn't look to have stepped that far forward behind Muta Sabek at Newmarket, but he wasn't much further behind Native Trail there than he was in the 2000 Guineas, a couple of lengths maybe. So I'm going to take a chance at a big price on Imperial Fighter, but not strong.
Fair enough. Imperial Fighter, keep an eye out for him. Rory?
Yeah, not strong either, but I thought I thought there were negatives about the entire field, and I thought Marie's Diamond, not top price with Paddy at 16s, but he will be the rank outsider here, and he's pretty much as good as ever. He showed that. He slipped down the handicap a little bit last year, but he was second in a red-hot handicap at York last time off 95. He's run well at Epsom before. He wants the ground as quick as possible, and he wants to dominate, and I think he's got a really good chance of doing that. Whether he's good enough at the age of 7 to beat these, I'm not sure. But there are a few of these who you cannot be guaranteed will be on their game. Regal Reality was disappointing. In the Gordon Richards, he's talented, but he's a bit wayward. Colossi's the unexposed one who could be anything, but I wouldn't be too scared about Imperial Fighter. He's just, you know, he was a good 2-year-old, and obviously he ran very well in the Irish Guineas last year. That was a messy enough race, and he hasn't repeated it since. And again, we've touched on Highland Avenue and the fact that he might be top rated here, but he's not. He doesn't have a particularly fearsome profile. And Escobar's got all the talent in the world, but he wants a bigger field than this. He wants plenty of hurly-burly going on around him and probably a stiffer finish than this. So although he's, you know, he's just about the worst in the field, Maurice Diamond, he's the one who's going to get things suiting him. He's going to get an easy lead. And Holly Doyle will try to catch them on the hop. And I think she's got half a chance of doing that. So again, it'd be reasonably small stakes, but at 16 to 1 and bigger, Maurice Diamond would be my pick.
The next is the Derby. It doesn't take as long, does it, to get to the Derby? It's due off at 1:30. Pretty much all the expected runners were declared on Thursday, bar Alder, who would have been fancied, actually, for...
Would have been my pick.
Oh, no, really? Yeah. Oh, God. Okay, yeah, he was taken out by Donegay. He must
yeah,
have
mine
been,
too,
something...
yeah, mine too.
Are you going to move on the next race, then?
Okay, cool, yeah. We'll get on to the Princess Elizabeth Stakes, the big one of the day. He must have been... Something must have happened to him. Since I think Wednesday, when everything was fine. But anyway, Augusto Rodan was definitely declared, and Ryan Moore will ride it. He's the 11-4 favorite, bombing out in the 2000 Guineas. But we saw a little Big Bear come right back to form from that very same race, whether that's any relevance or whatsoever. We'll see what the lads say. Military order for Appleby Buick, the Lingfield Derby trial winner on the all weather, 7-2, 9-2 passenger supplemented for the race off just 2 runs. How many horses have won the Derby off just 2 runs? Go to you, Rory DeLargue, on that. Arrest Frankie Dettori's last Derby. It's Frankie Dettori's last everything this year, though. 5-1. Sprewell for Shane Foley and Jessica Harrington, 12-1 winner of the big trial at Leopardstown. The Foxes, the Dante winner, 12-1. White Birch, great story that'd be for John Joseph Murphy, also 12-1. Colin Keane booked and rides for the first time with obviously Shane Foley riding for Jesse. And then it's bigger prices, the rest. Okay, Ruby Walsh, the Derby, due off at lunchtime. What wins it?
Look, so Augusto Rodan is the obvious place to start, and disappointing run in the Guineas on soft ground. Doesn't look like a miler anyway. He wanted every yard of 7, up to a mile as a 2-year-old. So as a 3-year-old, he was always going to want a bit further. Military order didn't blow me away at Lingfield. Maybe it was the all weather. He'd been much more impressive at Newbury before that. Passenger was unlucky in the Dante, but to be honest with you, when you have a good bit in hand, you shouldn't be unlucky. You should be able to get your way out anyway. In a trial, I feel arrested it well at Chester on soft ground, beating Adelaide River. But I was really taken with Sprewell in the Leopardstown Derby trial when he beat Up and Under. Gordon Maiden has worked out and he came home well, was second at Naas in heavy ground, did win at Naas then in March on testing ground, but as the ground dried a bit, I thought he was better in Leopardstown when he beat Up and Under. Be a bit of a fairy tale story, but I love the way he came home. He's by Churchill, and I'm going to go with Sprewell.
Sprewell for Jessica Harrington. Indeed, it will be a heartwarming story. Rory, your take on the Derby?
I find it a pretty tough one to get. Well, I would have been with Alder, which has thrown me a curveball, because I was looking for an each way pick. I was with the Foxes when he won the Dante, and I do like the Foxes. My worry with him, talking about the draw, both him and White Birch, if you're drawn very low in the Derby and you're a hold up horse, it's a very, very difficult place to come from. Because of the nature of the course, the first thing you do, you've got the sweeping right-handed turn as they're going up the hill, and then they swing back towards Tattenham Corner and come across the track. If you're drawn low when you're towards the rear of the field in the early stages, when the field come across again, you're stuck towards the back of the field and you're on the rail. And you can come from the back and you can come from the rail, but it's very difficult to do both at the same time. So I think that's a negative for both White Birch and the Foxes. Even though I quite like their chances, that does put me off. Obviously, we've seen recently Massar came from stall one and got a terrific ride. But you need to be proactive from a very low draw to take a good position. I don't think White Birch and the Foxes, given their run styles, will be doing that. And obviously, there's a question with the Foxes about his stamina at this trip. Although, you know, he's out of a Darshan mare. There are plenty of reasons to think he will stay, but the best of that family have only stayed a mile and a quarter. I think Andrew Balding's well aware of that. I personally think that, passenger, you can argue Desert Crown didn't have a lot more well, didn't have any more experience really coming into this than Passenger did. But Passenger reminds me of Ulysses, his sire, in that I think connections, like the owners wanted to run the horse in the race, and I don't think Sir Michael Stipe was nearly so keen. So I know he's been supplemented, and they did say they would listen to whatever Sir Michael Stipe said after the Dante, they would go with. I can't believe Sir Michael Stipe is that keen to run Passenger in the Derby, unless he suddenly come to himself in a real way at home, which is possible, I suppose. He's maybe the most talented horse in the race. I just thought, given that he was making his debut in a race for unraced 3-year-olds in April, he might just need longer to get the experience to do this. He was looked after at York. He shaped really well, and I like him as a performer, but it's not an easy task coming here. And so I must say, I was really struggling. I can see Auguste Rodin bouncing back, but aside from the bouncing back from a poor run in the Guineas, that's less of a worry for me than the fact that all his form is on softer ground thus far. That's a concern for me. And so, yeah, I was very happy with this 2 days ago when I thought all the horses I like, I can rule out for reasons, one reason or another. And the one I kept coming back to was Alder at a price. And then he just doesn't appear in the
He's not
in
running,
the
Rory. You're going to have to get over this. You're going to have to get over it.
I'll tell you what I would do. If the Appleby horses run okay early on at the meeting, then I'd be with Military Order, because he's the one who's got least to prove. He's got all the experience. I thought he handled Lingfield very well last time out. He showed that he could deal with a galloping track on soft ground before that. I like the way he had the maneuverability to nip up the inside at Lingfield. And I think if you can do that, you're going to handle Epsom really well. So if there wasn't a question about the Appleby horses coming into this, I think Military Order would be the standout for me. But if one or two of them get turned over on Friday, I'll be less scratching my head again. So I'll put him in as the pick there. But, you know, buyer beware. Keep an eye on the yard for him.
Okay. Military Order goes in. Poor old Rory's having a real struggle there with the Derby. Spreewell for Ruby. We move on to the ITV4 action. Everyone is going to tune off to the Manchester Derby. We'll be continuing looking ahead to the racing. And we go to the Princess Elizabeth Stakes, the Group 3 over the mile. Prosperous Voyage for Frankie Dettori, Rafe Beckett, 7-4 fave from Potapova, who for Ryan Moore and Sir Michael Stipe was second in the race behind Owner Mate, wasn't it, Bashkirova. Roman Mist is 9-2. Astro Bow for Pan Sly, 8-1, 9-1, Shara. And then 14th, Random Harvest, who's the outsider. Rory, okay, you'll have one for us at this.
Yeah, I think Prosperous Voyage will just bounce out in front and make all the running here. I was against her last time out, stepping up and trip on soft ground. What she wants is a reasonably fast mile and quick ground, as she showed last season. Particularly when she was allowed to bowl along in the Falmouth Stakes last year. And she looked a sitting duck through most of that race, but she found plenty to get the job done. She hasn't really repeated that since, but I think she's only had one run on genuinely quick ground since then. I think that's the key to her. So, as I said, the trip and the ground were negatives for her coming off a break at Newmarket in the Dahlia Stakes. But I expect that will have done the job. She'll be at her best here, and she's got a bit too much class for these. I thought she was one of the better short priced favourites of the week.
Excellent. Prosperous Voyage. It is the Princess Elizabeth that's the big race. We're always looking this because he's quite keen on that one. Ruby?
I was saying Prosperous Voyage. I was given Heredia a chance before declarations, but she hasn't appeared, and there was 10 or 11 entries at that stage, but much smaller field now. So Prosperous Voyage will do for me too. Not massive Potapova fan. Didn't think she had any excuse for getting beaten here last year by Bashkirova. She had a couple of average runs after that before beating Grand Dam at Sandown and then running well behind Muta Sabek at Newmarket. But she has to overcome a really poor comeback run, and I'm with Prosperous Voyage.
A double vote for Prosperous Voyage. On to a couple of sprints. The 3-year-old Epsom Dash, new race, or is this new?
It's brand new, yep.
Brand new, okay. Would 3-year-olds have been eligible for the Dash itself?
I think it's always been 4-year-olds and up the Dash.
Is it? Yeah.
And it's difficult, very hard for a 3-year-old. Well,
would have been, obviously. Yeah, would have been.
you'd be a group class 3-year-old to get in anyway. So
yeah, exactly. I was just thinking it would have been hard to get into and definitely hard to win for 3-year-olds. So they've got their own race, sponsored by Aston Martin. I wonder if they drive a little Aston Martin down the side of the track as well, see if they can beat them. Your thoughts on this? We've got prices, obviously. It's at the moment 11-2 the field. JM Jungle, Cantacana 7-1, 8-1 Estate, 9-1 Russet Gold, 11-1 Miss Brazen, and 12 Spar Ruby Walsh. First of two dashes, please.
Yeah, just looking, I think something in the dash, one of the 4-year-olds in the dash ran in the one of the 4-year-olds in this year's dash ran it last year as a 3-year-old.
Oh,
I
so
think.
You think it was a 3-year-old?
Oh, okay.
Okay,
right. I think I was just looking at them earlier. I thought one of them did. I'll look back again now in a minute. Anyway, in the 3-year-old dash, I have gone for one of the price as I scroll down through them. I have it written down in front of me, but I'm trying to figure out why exactly I had it down. I did have it down, and it's not declared as well. I was going for Dream Gold, but it's not there.
Right. Okay. No more references to horses not declared, lads. I'm making a new rule. A new rule.
Just to confirm, the dash was certainly a 3-year-old plus race last year.
Sorry. How is that my fault, Ruby?
Making us do things so early and so short after declaration time. That you have to look when the entries are made to be on top.
Okay, yeah, you can have your homework done early, don't you?
Somebody needs to be a Punchestown, so I'm not going to lay 100% blame for that.
There are a few of these absentees at Epsom are surprising ones.
Yes, but yeah, yeah. I want a winner. All right, so Ruby, you relook at it. Maybe you had a second choice.
No, I don't. Okay. I was going for a big price at Dream Gold when he wasn't in there, and so I didn't fancy anything short from the bet.
Fair enough. Okay, you're off. No bet for Ruby in this. Rory, please tell me your selection was declared.
My selection is declared. It's not I wouldn't be throwing that much money at 3-year-old sprints. They're not easy races. They tend to throw up funny results. But I thought Tatterstall was a fair bit better than the Bear Result. That is the correct pronunciation. Whether it's a misspelling or not is another matter altogether. A lot of people say Tatterstall when they mean Tattersalls. He was only 7th at York last time out, and he finished behind JM Jungle that day. But he showed a lot of speed, as you expect of a son of Bungle in the Jungle, to lead until about a furlong pole, and at the furlong pole, and then he was drawn away from the others who finished in the frame. And I thought he was a lot better than the Bear Result, and would be suited by Epsom. Now he's got work to do with JM Jungle, and JM Jungle, you know, has an obvious chance on paper as well. He would clearly be a danger, but you're going to get a bigger price about Tatterstall. He's on a stall 13. My view on the draw here, theoretically, you want to be drawn very high, next to the stands rail. And if you can bounce out and grab the stands rail and don't see another horse, it's the perfect place to be. It doesn't happen very often. Normally, the horse is drawn high. If you can't get out to the lead, you end up running into traffic problems. And it's often horses who are drawn in the centre of the track who get loads of room to run into and don't get hampered in their run. They can sometimes come to the fore, and I'd never put you off back in something drawn low. But there's quite a lot of speed in both the dashes among the low numbers. And it looks likely that if you're drawn mid to high and you've got early speed, you've got less chance of running into traffic than you normally would in these races, particularly here, where all the hold-up horses, most of them seem to be drawn along the high numbers. And JM Jungle and Tattersall, who both showed speed at York last time out, should be able to get to the front towards the rail or very close to it. And that should be a help to them. I think you're still going to see a couple blazing a trail on the far side, but there, whether they help each other or hinder each other in the centre of the track, I'm not sure. But I prefer the high numbers here, even though traditionally I've gone against the crowd with low numbers.
Okay. Tatterstall. The selection each way, I'm putting it in for each way there. The 245. We're going money back if you're second, third, or fourth in that race, by the way, on paddyfair.com as well, which will help. Okay,
so on to the win only.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah, you may as well go win. I'll put you down each way elsewhere, but yeah, win only for you.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
All right, 320 is the dash, and it's obviously, I'm presuming 20 is a max field for this race. We've seen a load of these already at York and other big sprint handicaps. Rory, straight back to you for the dash.
It's interesting you mentioned that. 20 years, I think, the max field. But the max field for the 3-year-old dash is 14. Because apparently 3-year-olds are more dangerous than older horses.
Yeah, okay. Don't. We're not going to
talk. Was the 3-year-old that ran in last year's dash.
Thank you.
Favorite, 6-1 favorite.
So was it? Yeah, it actually still is open to 3-year-olds, which is interesting given you've got the 3-year-old option.
Yeah.
But it said it won't get in. And Living the Dream is now a group horse. So maybe that's where.
Oh, yes. But yeah.
Well, Living the Moment is in this race. I wonder if he's going to tip that up. In the same colours. Rory, go on. Give us the winner of the dash, please.
Two against the field here, both with similar running styles. And maybe it's a case of which of them wins the early battle will be the one to be with. Sampras 7, drawn in stall 12, and Ancient Times drawn in stall 16. Who am I? If I'm going to pick one of the two, I think I will go Ancient Times in stall 16. He's drawn closer to the stands reel, which could end up being a help. And they both got plenty of speed. They're the two who are drawn mid to high with loads of early speed. There's quite a lot of speed among the low numbers. But I'd say these two are the two likeliest leaders in the race. And I thought the thing that probably pushes me towards Ancient Times as the winner, if I can actually find Ancient Times on my card, was the booking of Kea Fraser. Now, Kea Fraser would ride a lot for Harry Eustace. I think Kea Fraser is one of the best 7-pound claimers around. And as you can see from his stats, 7 from 35 this season, did really well last year. Was attached to Chris Wall still, but Chris Wall obviously retired. But he seems to, I think he's moved his indentures to Harry Eustace. Three of his last five rides have been winners. Twice successful in Divine Comedy, and also seemed a good effect getting free step home by a short head for this yard at Yarmouth the other day. He's not ridden Ancient Times before. Ancient Times has shown loads of speed at 5 furlongs at the likes of Newmarket and Chester, and is, you know, looks a horse who'd be, I mean, he's a course winner here in the past anyway, but looks a horse who'd be ideally suited by the dash. He just looks like sometimes that a stiff 5 furlongs is just far enough for him. His very best effort last season came when winning over 5 furlongs at Musselburgh. Very, very sharp track as well, Musselburgh. Was a winner over 6 furlongs here in 2021. But like a lot of true sprinters, he's got faster as he's got older, and he wants a sharper test these days. But he's got blazing early speed. And I thought essentially being 7 pounds lower or 8 pounds lower than last time out, he was beaten just over a length and a half at Newmarket on his return a fortnight ago, tongue-tied that day, as he is this here. Hayley Turner rode him there. He was sent off favourite. Kea Fraser now rides, so essentially he's 7 pounds plus the 1 pound the handicapper dropped him, 8 pound lower for that. And given he was made favourite in Newmarket last time out, he looks very tempting here. I'll just give a quick mention to Sampa 7 as well. Mick Appleby's been out of form for a while, but he had a winner yesterday at Beverley, and four of his last six runners have finished in the frame. So it looks like he's coming out of a bad run. And Sampa 7, again, she's got absolutely loads of speed, but tends not to quite get home in her races. She's been third in handicaps at Chester, second at Southall, third at Thirsk, where she's led until very late in the day in all those races. She wasn't quite good enough in the listed Lansdowne Stakes at Bath, first time out this season, but ran really well at Thirsk last time out, only gobbled up late in the day. And she gives the impression she will absolutely love this really sharp test as well. She's just on a little bit more towards the centre. So if the pair of them are going after it and trying to get the rail, you'd make Ancient Times marginal favourite to get there. But the pair of them are of interest, given the shape of the race.
Okay, Ancient Times. Keep an eye out for Sampa 7. You're right. Kea Fraser, from Brixton. Not many jockeys from Brixton. Ruby, your thoughts on the dash?
I was going for two in high stalls. Anga Land, I thought, was quite impressive. A good one on its last start, showed loads of speed as well. Jumped a bit right on that occasion out of the stall, so I was going to have to hit the gates good and rapid on Saturday afternoon. Anga Land, but showed loads of speed to win over 5 at Goodwood. And the other one I liked, who hasn't shown form on good ground lately, but did have form on good ground as a 2-year-old, a quick ground, was Vintage Clarets. And Oisin Murphy rides for Richard Fahey. Thought he ran well enough at Ripon on his last start, and maybe getting back on a bit of good ground might spark a bit of life in Vintage Clarets.
Okay, keep an eye for Angle Land.
Maybe come from off the pace, he's going to need a bit of luck.
Yeah, always is the case. Anything from off the pace, but can happen. Angle and Vintage Clarence each way. I never gave you the prices, but Clarendon House is favoured at 13-2. As we record on Thursday, it's basically 9-1 and bigger the rest. So big prices. If you find the winner, happy days. The 355 is another handicap, 1.25 the trip for this one. And looking at the market as we record, so Michael Stout's unexposed Fox Journey 4-1 with Harry Davies booked 5-1 Masai Mara for Ushi Murphy and John Thady Gosden. It's 11-2 Torito for Benny de la Sayette and the Gosdens, and 8-1 Sulcao for James Horton. Be nice for him to have a winner. And 10's Bar. Ruby.
I'm going for Lujawad.
Because?
Ran in the D stakes behind San Antonio and Rory's Derby tip Alder. Drops in grade into a handicap. And I think that's what drew me to it. Won well at Kempton when it beat Royal Cape, ran behind Military Order and Newmarket Maidens, only had the 3 starts. I think it could be really unexposed. Lose your wad.
Of course, we'll know whether Rory's Derby tip has won at this stage in Alder. Right, Rory, your thoughts on this?
I thought it's a really tough one. It's full of unexposed 3-year-olds. Not the ideal scenario, but balanced play makes a lot of appeal. If he handles the quick ground, 3 runs so far have come in heavy. The polytrack at Kempton and good to soft at Salisbury. But the Salisbury run is very good. He's also got the right kind of run style for this. He made most of the running at Salisbury and ended up getting beaten a neck by Kudwa in a novice stakes. Kudwa's been an impressive winner since. Greek Order, who was 3rd, has won since. There've been good runs from Island Native and Shadon, who were 5th and 6th there in subsequent efforts. So he looks like, I think if the handicap had a chance to go back again and re-rate him, a balanced play would probably be £4 or £5 higher than a mark of 81, and that gives him obvious claims under Andrea Azzani, who is not a bad jockey to follow around here. He's got a 19% strike rate, Andrea Azzani at Epsom, 9 from 48. Stall 6 is a good place to come. You want to be drawn reasonably low over 1.25. Epsom's a funny track that you know there are often scenarios where it looks like you should be drawn really low and high numbers do quite well, and vice versa with the 5 furlong course. The one distance at Epsom where the draw seems to be fairly logical is 1.25. You know obviously that's after that right-handed turn in the Derby where you're just going left-handed the whole way, and horses who are drawn in the lower half of the field tend to do better. And it looks, looking at the shape of the race, almost all the pace is in stalls 1 through 8. And I think the horses drawn higher than that will struggle. Perfect play is drawn in stall 8. Balanced play rather is drawn in stall 6, which is, you know, high enough in the grand scheme of things. But I think as long as I was drawn in that group of horses, I'd be happy enough. And he's got the speed to take a good position from there as well. So he appeals more than most, but plenty of these are capable of improving on what they've shown so far. So it's maybe not a race to be going absolutely mad about.
As is the nature with 3-year-old handicaps at big meetings. The 4.30, that's Lose Your Wad, by the way, for Ruby. Balance play for Rory. 1.5 handicap at 4.30. The Rio Ferdinand Foundation Northern Dancer handicap. Good to see Northern Dancer remembered here. Sire of so many greats. 9-4 Scampi. We love a bit of fish and chips. 9-4 Scampi for Andrew Balding and Hayley Turner. 130 Caius Corrister for Ryan Moore and Dabby Minussier. 4-1 C King for Sir Mark Prescott. 6-1 Max Mayhem and 10's Bar. Rory, straight back to you. We do have an Irish Raider in this, Jeff. Carrington Saddles Jungle Cove is amongst those at 10-1.
Yeah, I'm not massively keen on Jungle Cove here, although it's worth pointing out that his best effort was when he won at the Sugar Cup last year on good to firm ground. So the going will be coming in his favour. I thought Scampi was a blindingly obvious one. It's one of those, I started off looking for something to beat Scampi, you know, knowing it's going to be popular. It's owned by that new race share syndicate, which is proving reasonably popular. He was a winner at York last time out on quick ground. That was the race that gets you guaranteed entry into the Ebor, the Jorvik Stakes. And Andrew Balding does really well as handicappers at Epsom, so you know it looks like part of a plan. He's no doubt going to be back at York in August, but Andrew's record with his handicappers at Epsom at this meeting is very good. Scampi up in the weight, £6 for that, but that was a red hot handicap, and you can't really knock that. He's a course and distance winner in the past as well. Just lost a like about him. He's maybe the £6 he's gone up will make him vulnerable later on, but he looks sure to run his race. and I didn't really want to be against him. Ian Williams has got two at the bottom of the weights, who are impossible to fancy on this season's form, but it wouldn't be at all surprising if one of those was the subject of a gamble on the day and ran really well. I'm not sure which one it is. Halifon was only just been in the race last year, so he's the obvious one. But both Williams horses have got similar sort of profiles. They seem to have lost their form. But Ian Williams is very good at bringing them back to form when required. And it's easy to make excuses for the pair of them on the ground last time out. They both won quick ground. They both got it here. So I can see one of those bouncing back. But Scampi will do the job for me.
One medium portion of Scampi and chips for Rory. Ruby?
No, I won't have the Scampi, thanks. Shaw Charister for me, or Saul Charister for me, was in front of Scampi when the boat ran behind Bad Day here at Epsom in April. That was on soft ground, but Shaw Charister does have form on much better ground. Ryan Moore takes over from Benoit de la Sayette for David Munisier. And I thought his style of running from stall three, he likes to go forward. I was giving him a big chance.
All right. No idea what it means. Caius Carister, whatever it is.
Caius Carister? How they say it. It's a, right. Caius is a, it's a, well, Caius, but pronounced Caius, is a Cambridge college, isn't it?
I can't believe neither of us knew that, Ruby.
No, I wasn't listening that day in school.
PK. Yeah, same.
It's one of those words where correct pronunciation has to be done in inverted commas.
Next time we're on Universally Challenged, Ruby, we'll get that one right.
Five wants to be a millionaire. I'll phone you, PK.
505 JRA Tokyo Handicap. So the Japanese Racing Association. Probe is the favorite. This is a handicap over 6 furlongs. Probe the favorite as we record on Thursday, 9-2 for Jenny Candlish and Lewis Edmonds. 5-1, Mr. Wagyu. Well, if you had Scampi for your starter, you could have a bit of Wagyu beef for the main course at 5:05. 11-2, Apollo 1, Haymaker 7-1, 9-1, Indian Creek. How many more food puns can I get in, Rory's Largy? I don't know, but hopefully you'll give us a winner here.
There's an interesting stat that my friend Andrew might like sticking this one out about Mr. Wagyu. If you just look at his form between June and August, it's exceptional. He's got a really, really good strike rate. From the start to the end of the summer. So you ignore his form in May, April and May, if he runs at all, and you ignore his form in the autumn. From the 1st of June to the 31st of August, he's got a very good strike rate. So I'd not be at all surprised to see Mr. Wagyu bounce back from a couple of three moderate runs this season. He's come down the weights as a result. He won this race last year. You wouldn't be worried about where he's drawn. He's definitely on my short list. But I'd probably stick with him. I've been with him before. I've been with Probe in his last two starts. He's run really well both times. They've been in softish ground, but I don't think the ground's that important to him. I could be wrong, but he did too much in front when second at Newmarket at the Craven meeting, and then was produced a little bit later in the day and was very impressive, I thought, when winning a really competitive 6 furlong handicap, the Howden handicap, an early closing race at the Guineas meeting. And I think he's going to go from strength to strength. He's up in the weights, obviously, for that, 7 pounds higher, but he's just looked an entirely different horse since dropped back to sprinting for Jenny Candlish.
Probe for Rory. Ruby?
And I was going for Haymaker. Won at Windsor on his last start in quick ground, had run behind Bernardo O'Reilly at Newbury prior to that. Thought the way he got home and fastest ground at Windsor that this could suit him again. Haymaker, look, he's a four-year-old. He's rated 89. Rob Hornby rides again, but maybe a little bit of a pull home looking at him at Windsor might suit him. So Haymaker to hang on when he meets the rising ground.
Haymaker to give the bookies a knockout blow in the last at Epsom. All right, that is Epsom's entire card covered. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We now need your best bets on a busy Saturday of racing. My guess is that Rory's nap is not going to come in the Derby, but let's see. Maybe he's all of a sudden really keen on military order. I asked for you first yesterday, Rory, so I'll go to you first today, Ruby.
Oh, thanks, PK. I wasn't mad strong on many horses on Saturday. Prosperous Voyage would look the obvious one, but she's going to be pretty short. And it is Derby Day, and good things happen to good people, so I'm going to go with Spreewell.
Spreewell, lovely. Napped in the Derby from Ruby. Rory?
I'm going to go with Ancient Times in the Dash.
Ancient Times. I assume that's each way.
I just noticed after I talked about that race and said I'd prefer Ancient Times over Stamper 7. I'd only just clocked that Paddy are twice the price on Stamper 7 that a few other firms are. But that won't be the case on Saturday, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I think it'll come together a little bit in the betting. But if you can get on Sampras 7 at the current Paddy Power price, you definitely should.
That current price, I think, is about 20-1.
It's 20-1. Yeah, I don't think that lasts. Or she rather is 20-1.
She's 20-1. Okay, so Sampras 7, not the nap. The nap is ancient times. But if you get 21 or bigger, about Sampras 7, that's certainly worth a look. Gentlemen, thank you for looking ahead to a very busy 2 days at Epsom. We will talk to you next week, as per usual, where we will be looking ahead to the weekend racing. But a reminder: check out the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, and you'll be able to watch the Epsom Rewind with Joss O'Brien, Ruby, and Paddy Power looking back on Derby's past. As well as the Pick 5, Paddy's Pick 5, be available to play if you're listening to this before the first race, obviously. Get involved. It's absolutely free to play. We had 5 winners pick up 20 grand. And a reminder again, from the horse's mouth, we will be doing a punters panel. Get your questions in. Your questions, not mine. Your questions for the panel. And all you have to do is email fthm@paddypower.com. And if your question is used, you get a free bet. So why not throw in a few questions? Have a great weekend, all. I hope you find the Derby winner. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we haven't mentioned it. It's not the type of podcast we do, but hopefully everything goes to plan for those who are running the Derby, I think it's fair to say. Hopefully it goes to plan. Let's no delays and whatnot. And if you want to protest, do it safely, and that's fine. But don't get in the way of the horses, I think it's fair to say. Gentlemen, thank you very much for the weekend. We will be back next week. Everyone listening, enjoy a cracking weekend's racing.